Lord, we thank you so much for the powerful work that you're already doing. The healing that you're bringing, the deliverance that you're bringing. Lord, we thank you. There is no demon or disease that can stand before you, that you just declare it's done. Lord, I just thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. And I pray that during this service, those that came in bondage would walk out free. And I believe it's already begun. And Lord, I pray that those who came in with physical ailments, they'll leave healed. You're already doing it. Thank you, God. Thank you for being such a good, good God. Lord, I pray that if those areas of physical issues are simply indicators of soul issues, Lord, that you would highlight that in our understanding, that we would forgive, that we would repent, that we would do whatever it is to get our soul in right standing so that we can pray in confidence and in faith. And you may be holding out on our healing because there's a soul issue that goes way deeper and is way more destructive, and you got to get to that issue. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd highlight that right now, that we can get that dealt with. Lord, those who came in with whatever kind of bondage, they came into the house of the deliverer. And I pray, Lord, that you'll set captives free. Thank you for it. We pray over our families. Pray over our families. We know that you aren't limited to this building, but we're touching across the globe through our prayers. So, Lord, we thank you that you are the infinite God who isn't limited by time or space, and that you're doing a great work. Thank you, Lord. May it all turn back to your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Seems like every day I'm getting a new text message or email that is nothing but a scam. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's frustrating. You get a text message. Oh, I owe money for a toll booth. I didn't know they had toll booths in Athens, Texas. Supposed to pay tolls. Yep. By the way, if y'all get that, don't. It's a scam. All right. Yesterday, I got one. Yesterday, the Amazon Refund Center. Yeah, you click on that, they steal your stuff. Always somebody out there trying to put their hand in your pocket. But this is nothing new. In fact, the frustrating one that really, it got me. 3 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, it's a scam that's an imposter. I thought it was my daughter-in-law that was texting me, messaging me, and that they were struggling. And what they did not know, this scam artist, maybe they did, I don't know, but My son had just married this Air Force girl, and they just moved to Alaska, and she's trying to, this scam, let me know that they're struggling and that they need some money, and I'm fixing to give them some money. I'm just like, whatever you need, it's coming. And right before, of course, I'm not very technologically advanced, and so I'm like, babe, we need to send some money to Alaska. She said, it's a scam. She said, somebody hacked her. Well, now I'm hacked. Yeah, talk about get hacked. I got hacked. Well, I'm able to message them, and I prayed about them. So y'all know that's the inside joke. Some people I pray for, some people I pray about. So when they had that case of explosive diarrhea that night, they knew they messed with the wrong guy. And then the next day, I was able to pray for them. But that night, I was praying about them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That, you know, this is nothing new. And it's shifting and changing all the time. The scams are shifting and changing all the time so that they can be effective. Satan is also a con artist. And he's a thief. And he's not just trying to steal your money. He's trying to steal your family. He's trying to steal your peace. He's trying to steal your soul. He wants to hold you captive. And that's what we were just singing about. I want to look real quick at one passage of scripture that's so pertinent. 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's a whole lot going on in this scripture. And so because there's so much, I'm going to read through it because it's a long sentence and it would just be weird to just go straight to verse 26. But as I'm reading through it, just know these are all little side points that we could preach on. In fact, the first one, verse 22, goes right in alignment with what we taught on Wednesday night on 1 Corinthians 6. But it says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Now, see, this is where we're going. Verse 25, the servant of the Lord needs to be able to humbly correct those who are in opposition. All right? If God will perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Verse 26, here we go. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I told you there's a lot in that verse of scripture. There's a lot in that passage. And it's saying that as Christians, we need to be able to, with humility, speak truth to somebody so that they will hopefully respond in that truth and be set free from the liar and the thief. That's what that passage describes. But how it describes it is so good. That they may come to their senses and escape, this is verse 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's a description of a lost person or a backslidden Christian. Either one. And it could be a description of any one of us at any minute that we believe a lie, right? That con artist that I prayed about, they were deceitful and trying to act like they were somebody that they were not. And so this is called an imposter. Well, there's an imposter, and he's called an angel of light, but he's a liar and a thief. And he is constantly trying to take us captive so that we will do his will. By the way, any Christian, that if we go back to this verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Guess what? That's a Christian. It says, he's talking to Christians. He's telling the young pastor, Timothy, this is how I need you to pastor your church, Timothy. And he said, Christians that do this are under the operation of the devil. So, y'all know what it is to be under the influence, to be drunk, to be high, be whatever, to under the influence. Well, there are a lot of Christians who are under the influence of the accuser of the brethren. And this is what Paul is saying. We need to recognize that there's truth, and Christians, you be to humbly speak truth in order for people to be able to recognize there is a real enemy, and he's always trying to get his hand in your pocket or on your kids. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. This is, I need you to read this passage of scripture with prophetic lenses. What I mean by that we're reading about David. But I need you to read this as this is the ancestor of Jesus, okay? Jesus has always been, Jesus being God is eternal, and so he's never had a beginning, but he was born in Bethlehem as a human, and Bethlehem was where David's genealogy runs down through to Bethlehem. So this is an ancestor of Jesus, but he's not just an ancestor of Jesus, he's an example of Jesus, what we call a type, someone who gives us an insight into who Jesus really is. And so this story, I need you to be able to recognize this in prophetic lenses. As you're reading, what do I mean? Read this as if this is about Jesus, because this is a story about Jesus. Chapter 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. I guess that means your little women and your big women. I don't know if that's what that. Sometimes it just, when I'm reading it, all of a sudden it's just like, you know, it's a gift. I think it's a gift. Or a curse. I'm not sure. Because now you're distracted by seeing small and great. So, all right, let me start over verse 2. And then taken captive the women, those who were there, from small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. So you have these warriors. There's about 600 of them. These warriors are out wherever they're at, and they come home to where their goods and their families are at, only to find that their city's been burned and everybody's gone. They've been taken captive by the enemy. Verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. They were so worked up they were going to kill David. Because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Amen. That's where you go to strengthen yourself, by the way, the Lord. Verse 8, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So the story goes on to say that the 600 men set in after the Amalekites. They get to a point where 200 of them said, we just can't go on any further, and they stop. The other 400 go in, and man, they go to whooping on folk. Verse 16, and when they had brought him down, this is an Egyptian that said that led them to him. When they brought him down there, there they were, spread out over all the land. We don't have a number. We don't know how many Amalekites there are. We know that there's 400 of David's men, and they're tired. And they're beat after a long journey of trying to catch up to the Amalekites and their family. And so there they see them. There's the Amalekites. And it says they cover the land. Verse 16 again. There they were spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Over 24 hours. That's a fight. Now, not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. I don't know. You got to, when you're reading scriptures, you need to see, you know, read it visually. In other words, imagine what you're reading. It said that the land was so full of Amalekites, there's just a small remnant that got away, 400. Do you remember how many of David's men there were? 400. 400 people, 400 fighting men, whipped the whole countryside of Amalekites, and there was a remnant of 400. You see that? It was just the amount of people, the small remnant that got away was the size of David's army. I want to tell you something. When it comes to the Lord, remember, you got to read these with prophetic eyes. When it comes to the Lord, being outnumbered ain't no thing. Y'all hear me? Scriptures speak of how one can put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000. What is he talking about? Those of us who are on God's side. Me and God make a majority. You know what I'm talking about? So it doesn't matter how many are against us. When God is in the mix, the number don't matter. So 400 guys fought after already being tired and hungry, fought for over 24 hours, and they just whooped the socks off of them. You know what I'm talking about? So David recovered all. Verse 18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking. Either small or great, little women, big women, they all got rescued. I don't really know why that's funny to me, but that would be his two wives. Maybe one was small, one was great. I don't know. And nothing of theirs was lacking. Amen. Either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Amen. I love it because I'm knowing that I'm talking about the ancestor of my Savior and that he's an insight. David is an insight into the activity of my Savior. And when he goes in, he recovers how many? All. You know what? He's got... In fighting, in boxing, in MMA or whatever, they have your record. Your record precedes you. You know what? He's got a perfect record. Perfect record. He ain't ever lost a fight. That's who my Savior is. He wins every one of them. And so I want to look in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. So after generations after David would be a prophet named Isaiah. He would come in a time period which the nation of Israel was in such great turmoil. Some had already been taken off into captivity into Assyria. Some were going to be taken captivity into Babylon. The nation is just in shambles. And this prophet Isaiah speaks of the Messiah who would be coming. And he's speaking as if he is the Messiah. Chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Amen. Who are we talking about? Jesus. And when does he do that? Well, he started doing that about 2,000 years ago, and it's just amped up ever since. Y'all know that, right? Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus is reading this passage of scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. This is his first sermon that we have him preaching in the book of Luke. He reads the scroll, closes it, gives it back to the attendant, sits down, all eyes are on him. And then he stands up in verse 21 and he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What the prophet Isaiah spoke of all those years ago, Jesus says, that's now. That's now. And I'm doing it. And he began doing it. Look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. What did he say? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, anointing him to do, preach the gospel. And so he gets to doing it. He's preaching the gospel. Now, what happens from the beginning of Matthew till now is he has sought out whom the Lord had highlighted as to who they would be. That would be his disciples. He would choose the 12. Those 12 he would raise up, and then later on we would call them apostles. But at this time, he's training them up. He's raising them up. And let me read verse 35 again. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I love preaching about the kingdom. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of diseases, sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. We're looking at this passage of scripture. We recognize what happens. Jesus says, this is what the Lord has anointed me to do. But there is a limitation. This might strike you as wrong, but let me tell you. Jesus had a limitation. While he was alive on this earth, he had a limitation, a physical body. That was a limitation for him. What do I mean by that? He could only be in one place at one time. Now, I know as being God, he is omnipresent. He can be all places at all times. But when he was in his human body, he could only be in one place at one time. And that was a problem, he said. He said, the laborers are too few. We need more laborers in the field. And so he sends out his 12, and then later on he sends out 70, and it's supposed to continue to expand and grow, and he sends them out doing the exact things that he said he was anointed to do. Because what did he do? He anointed them. And they go out in that same power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and there's these five things that we know this is what ministry is supposed to be about. Preach the gospel to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, set captives free, restore sight to the blind, and declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Five things. What are those five things again? You want to see people get saved, their souls healed, delivered from bondage, their bodies healed, and their lives restored. Amen? Those five things. And he says, and then he commissions us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, when he says, all power and authority has been given unto me. And then he says, you go. You go under that power and authority. And what is it we're supposed to be doing? Remember, preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. What does that mean? Those who's emotionally, their soul is damaged and wounded. God cares about that. We can get serious about physical healing, but forget that sometimes the physical is just an indicator of what's going on in the emotional, in the soul. And so he said that we want to see people get saved, their souls healed, delivered from bondage, their bodies healed, and their lives restored. Why? Because there's a real enemy, and he's going around stealing your kids. He's going around stealing your family. He's going around stealing your resources. He's going around stealing your peace. He's stealing your joy. He's stealing your confidence in him. He's stealing all kinds of stuff from you. But the truth will set people free. Amen. Remember that other passage of scripture, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Because there's a liar out there. The liar wants to take you captive. Remember that passage of scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2? The liar wants to take you captive in order for you to do his work. But Jesus wants to set you free. And when he does, what do? His work. I don't know if you caught that. When the liar takes you captive through his lies, he's also an accuser of the brethren, and he gets us disputing one another. That's that passage of scripture. And when you're doing that, you're under the influence of the liar, the accuser of the brethren, and we are creating division, and any group that is divided is already defeated. But the truth, his name is Jesus, comes to set us free, and when we're hearing from him, what we are hearing is truth. And truth sets you free and unites. Lies take you captive and divides. So Christian, guess what? You've been called to be a harvester, a laborer in the field. We have all been called to see the power of God work through us. You say, well, no, you gotta be like a super saint to do that, right? No, see, the thing is, it's not really anything that you do. It's what you allow him to do through you. That's the way this works. And so that's why we can see God work through us through humility. See, that's when you're finally set to be able to be used by God, is through humility. Well, I love this passage of scripture. I want to just flip over to the next page, chapter 11 of Matthew. Because here's the solution. If you came in here lost, you don't know the Lord. You don't know where you're going to spend eternity. You don't have any confidence of your salvation. You're not sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You came in here. There's a solution. Let me look in Matthew 11, 28. Here's the solution. You see it? Come to me. That's the solution. If you came in here burdened, here's the solution. Jesus said, come to me. If you came in bondage, here's a solution. Jesus says, come to me. If you came in needing healing, there's a solution. It's all, the answer to all of these is Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. It's not coming to the right church. It's not going to the right small group. All of those things are tools in which we get to come together under the name of Jesus. Amen. And so what he's calling us to do is just as simple as it can be. He just says, come to me. Come to me. Amen. So how about we do that? Praise team, could y'all come on? And it seemed like the service just went so fast. That's what good preaching will get you right there. Goodness, I'm messing with you. The sermon was fast because the invitation is going to be long. So at the end of this invitation, or the extension of the invitation, as we're singing together, our prayer team is going to be down at the front. If you're here today and you've heard the gospel, let me share with you the gospel real quick. Here's the gospel. Gospel means good news. Here's the gospel. Gospel is this, that you were born with an independent and rebellious nature called a sin nature. And what that sin nature is I want things my way right away. So if you don't think that you have one, you can go back there in the nursery and you recognize, you put three little kids right here in a circle together and put one toy in between them, you'll find what the sin nature looks like. I want it for me. And that's what you're born with it. And we continue in a rebellious way, choosing our will over God's will. And that is an indicator of one in sin. But then we come to a realization that I am apart from God. And my sins have separated me from God. But Jesus came to remedy that. And so recognizing that he took our sins upon himself on the cross and paid that penalty, he then says, guess what? Come to me. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never been saved, when we have everybody stand up, we're going to have our prayer team down in front. I want you to come and talk to our prayer team. There can be other reasons that you come talk to the prayer team, but that's going to be one of them. So there's the one. Preach the gospel to the poor. One of the other ones is that he has come, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to bind up the brokenhearted. We've been preaching about soul freedom. If you're here today and your heart is broken, there is an issue that is laying heavy on your heart. Maybe someone has hurt you. Maybe there is something going on that you just got a real soul issue. There's a heaviness. He also told us in Isaiah 61 that he will give us a spirit of joy instead of that heaviness. And so what are we called to do? Come to him. So if you're here today and you need a good soul healing, you need the healer to do a work on your soul, would you just stand? Yeah, I'm not going to have you say anything. I'm not going to have you do anything. That's it. We just want to pray over you. So if you're here and you say, I need prayer in this area. I need prayer in this area. All right, so church family, you see those that are standing, just put your hand on their shoulder. Let's pray for them. Lord, I know that there's a lot of brokenhearted because there's a lot of things to be brokenhearted over. Maybe there's someone who's lost a loved one. Maybe there's someone whose marriage is struggling. Maybe there's someone who is just dealing with emotional struggles. Someone's offended them. Someone's hurt them. I need to stop real quick and remind you of the previous 3 weeks of sermons. That if you need to get healing in this area and yet you are still holding on to offense, you won't get healing in this area. So be obedient unto the Lord and release them in forgiveness. And now let's pray for them. Father, I pray that you would just absolutely bring healing to the souls of your people. That those who are brokenhearted over whatever issue, Lord, that today they will experience the remedy. And his name is Jesus. Lord, that you would just do what you said you come to do. And that you'd bring healing to hearts right now. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Maybe you're here and you need deliverance. Maybe you need physical healing. Maybe you need restoration. Let's go with the physical healing. You're here. You came in. Y'all can sit down. You came in here and you have a physical issue. You need to be healed of whatever that issue is. You got in a bad prognosis from the doctor. You got whatever's going on. You say, I need God to heal me. Well, let me first go back to the soul issue. Is the physical issue just an indicator of a soul issue? If it is, then we need to get the soul issue. It may be that God don't heal your hurting back until you forgive. That was my experience. I was wanting my back healed, and God's like, well, you got to forgive that. And then as soon as I forgave, he healed my back. But you say, okay, I've got that. I'm obedient to the Lord in that area, but I need healing in this area of physical issue. If that's you, stand up. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for our family members that are in need. I know there's more people who need physical healing than this. Y'all know we believe it, and we experience physical healing in this room. Some of y'all need to be praying. Maybe we need to pray over some people being a coward. That's why we need to be praying. You got a soul issue. Father, we just thank you that you're the healer and that we could call upon you, Almighty God, and you heal. So, Lord, I pray that right now that there will be people who are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Bodies are healed, whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever ailment. Lord, that you would do that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Maybe, and I know it's ramping up. Satan is using this instrument a lot more in these days. Maybe it's addiction or depression. Maybe it is an issue of the mind. It's like the devil's got his claws in your mind. Maybe there's just this intellectual or something's going on. We would call it bondage. What's the source of it? The devil's the source of it. And Paul said, and by the way, it doesn't mean that you're demon possessed. That's not what I'm saying. He don't just possess, he also oppresses. Paul said, I have a thorn in my side, a messenger from Satan. That's what he said. And so maybe you have that. You've got an ongoing issue, this hardship that you just know the source is Satan. And you need to be delivered from that. If you would, just stand up. Your brothers and sisters want to pray over you. Depression, addiction, you know, just anything like that. All you liars, stand up. If you need prayer over this area. y'all know the culture of this church. This culture of this church. We're not timid. We're not bashful. Quit white knuckling that chair in front of you and say, let's just get real and get healed. Amen. Father, we recognize the devil is one who takes people captive. And it starts off with the smallest of lies. But when we open up our understanding to that lie, it can become a stronghold. So, Lord, we come right now just tearing down strongholds. With the authority of Jesus Christ, we cast off every demonic influence, whether it be addiction, depression, struggles of the mind. We just speak healing. We speak deliverance over that. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, be free. Be delivered. Be released. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now I want everybody to stand up. Thank you for doing that. Here's the thing with this restoration. What Jesus said, he said, I come to preach the gospel, bind up brokenhearted, set captives free, restore sight to the blind, and declare the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what that means? He's referring to the Jubilee. The Jubilee year was something that happened every 50 years, and it was when all debts were canceled. Everyone who had sold themselves into slavery was released and freed. And resources came back home again. Amen. Some of y'all have been stolen from, been lied to. Your resources are a wreck. Your relationships are a wreck. Your family's a mess. and you want the restorer to intervene in your situation. Why do I have everybody stand up? Because it applies to all of us. And maybe you're sitting there and you're in such a wonderful situation where it don't apply to you. I bet you know someone that it does apply to. And so David went and got his wife back. He went and got his kids back. And maybe you need to pray over somebody else at this time. But let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a deliverer. We thank you that you set captives free. We thank you that you are a healer. We thank you that you are a restorer. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever the enemy has stolen from our family, Lord, that you would restore it right now. This is our Jubilee. Lord, that you would bring back resources, relationships, mental stability. Lord, you'd bring back peace. You'd bring back joy. You'd bring back love. That you would restore every area of our lives because we've called upon the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's who you are. That's what you do. We love you, Lord. Give you glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray.